Praise God. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 14. He said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. That's simple. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to bless His word here tonight.
Have your way with this, Jesus.
God, I'm asking you to reach down and to touch this place tonight with your presence. God, grace it with your favor, I pray. God, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive and a spirit, God, to act upon. I pray, God, that you would touch every soul that is here tonight. Help us, God, to be more than just hearers of the word, but to be doers. Help us, O Lord Jesus, to catch it and to apply it to our lives. Oh, God, so much can be said about your word, God, that it has been given unto us to make us overcomers, and this is part of it. I pray, God, that you would help us today, and we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and put your hands together and just magnify God. God, I'm so thankful for your word and for your truth. I'm so thankful for holiness. I'm so thankful for the power and the spirit that is involved in it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, and you may be seated. Follow peace with all men and holiness. We are to follow after holiness. And one translation renders it to say that we are to pursue peace and pursue holiness. In other words, we are to chase it as if we are hunting it. It is the process of tracking it down. Amen. The hunter will go into the fields and he will begin to search for tracks. And when he finds those tracks, they will begin to speak to him. And he can follow after those tracks. And that is the way that it needs to be with us concerning holiness. And the way that we find holiness is we seek after the one that is holy. In that he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so as we seek after him, we find the tracks that he has left. The Bible says that God is love, and we see the love that he shed, and we chase after that. The Bible tells us that he is the light of the world, and we understand that, and therefore we seek after that, and we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and magnify our Father which is in heaven. When we seek after him, we see that he is the truth. And when we study into the truth, it leads us into all truth. Amen. And then we present and become and ought to be truthful in all things. Amen. Praise God. And so we see that this work of holiness is an active aggression. Amen. It is never passive. It is never stagnant. Amen. Holiness is not something that just stays on the shelf. Holiness is not a badge that you wear around your neck. Amen. In declaration that I am holy. But no matter what I am at this moment, I am to pursue after holiness. In other words, that if I am not pursuant of holiness, it's going to leave me behind. Amen. I am not holy simply because that I am a professed Christian. I am not holy because, amen, only that I have been baptized in his name and filled with his spirit. But I am holy because of an everyday effort that I act actively engage in. I was saved on January the 26th of 1990. Amen. But I am being saved this day. We do not believe in a once saved, always saved doctrine. Amen. That is a lie that hell wants to throw at the religious world to pacify them. Amen. Justifying that they can go do whatever they want to do. Amen. 10 virgins. Amen. All had lamps. 5 were full, or 5 had oil, and 5 did not. 5 were saved and 5 were lost. Praise God. We have got to be keepers of the oil, and we've got to be actively pursuing after holiness. Every day I need to look in the mirror and see what manner of man that I am, and not forget what I see, but what I see that is not right, I need to take care of. If it's a bad attitude, I need to take care of it. Whatever it is, I need to take care of it so that I can be holy. He said, "For without it, no man shall see the Lord." You cannot be holy today and unholy tomorrow and be saved. Well, think about it. I want to tell you tonight, amen, that holiness is as essential as Jesus' name baptism. It is as essential as the doctrine of repentance. It's as essential, amen, as the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. Hebrews 12 and 14 is as essential as John 3 and 3. When Jesus said, "Except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Hebrews 12 and 14 said that without holiness, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You cannot see God. As a matter of fact, and we'll cover this some other time, but he said that if you don't have peace, you're not going to enter into the house of God. Amen. Or see the see God. Amen. That does not mean an inner peace within yourself, even though I believe that we ought to have that. Amen. Praise God. But that is peace with our brother. The Bible said that the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. A lot of people want the joy, but very few want the righteousness. You got to have righteousness. Amen. And some people want joy, but they don't want peace. Amen. And that word peace is the peace that you have with your other brothers and your sisters. Amen. You cannot have joy alone and be saved. You got to have righteousness. You got to have peace. And you got to have the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise God. Amen. And so the scriptural reference, amen, such as follow holiness or pursue holiness. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1, he said, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit." And then he gives us an action verb here, perfect. Holiness. Amen. You've got to pursue holiness. You've got to perfect holiness. And you've got to be holy. As 1 Peter 1 and 15 said, "Be ye holy." In other words, becoming holy. You've got to become holy because you're not naturally holy. Amen. I hate to bust everybody's bubble, including mine. Amen. But we're not just naturally holy. holy. Amen. We're not holier than thou. We don't have some place on the market. Amen. But you know what we are? Amen. We're dirty and rotten and wretched. Amen. Dirt balls that have been saved by grace. And the only thing that separates me from the drug addict that's out there is the grace of God. Amen. Otherwise, I would be that drug addict. Amen. That Paul said it like this. There is no good thing inside of me. Amen. There's no good thing inside of you. But through God, through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Praise God. Praise God. And so I've got to pursue after holiness. I've got to perfect holiness so that I can be holy. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. And we began to talk about that a little bit last week. We've been talking about it for several weeks. Amen, we have talked about just simply being a Christian. We've talked about knowing God. Amen, because if you're going to be holy, you're going to have to, if he's holy, you got to know who he is. Amen, praise God. We talked about that a little bit just a while ago. Amen. But then we have gotten into, first we talked about the whole man, that God wants every part of you. He doesn't want just the outside, and he doesn't want just the inside. He wants all of you. Amen. That you would be, amen, holy. And that word holy, H-O-L-Y, amen, the foundation of that word, the etymology, amen, of that word comes from the word whole, which is W-H-O-L-E. So, amen, entirely, amen. God wants us to be holy, but he wants us to be entirely holy. Amen. Praise God. We talked a little bit about that, and we'll probably talk about it in the weeks to come. Amen. But he said that your whole spirit, your spirit, your soul, and your body, amen, would be holy unto the Lord. Praise God. And so we began to talk about that inner man. Amen. We went from the whole man. And so if we've got the whole man, first thing that we're going to do is talk about the inner man. And later on, we'll get to the outer man. Amen. But we would see that Jesus would put the emphasis upon the inner man. When he was discussing and talking to the Pharisees, he called them hypocrites. And the definition of hypocrite was that they had the outside right, amen, and the inside was wrong. He said, you're like a dirty cup that you've taken the time to wash the outside, but on the inside, you're full of all kinds of trash, amen. And he said, you're a hypocrite. He said that the definition of a hypocrite was like you're a whited tombstone that on the outside is beautiful, but on the inside, it's full of dead men's bones. And so the emphasis is put upon the inner man. And we could see that the examples that Jesus gave, and that those that would keep the outside clean, that there was the possibility of having the inside dirty. And that defined a hypocrite. But nowhere in Scripture can you find where somebody that has the inside right and the outside is not right. They can be in a state of progression, but that is the key. Amen. The key is pursuing holiness, perfecting holiness, becoming holy. Amen. It's more than just receiving the Holy Ghost and then just becoming static. Amen. But there is that hunting it down, that pursuing it. Amen. And that you are cleaning the inside up. But when you clean the inside up, there is a desire to clean the outside up as well. The whole man. But we're talking about the inner man first. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 23 and verse number 7, amen, the wise man would give us this wisdom. And he would say that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. which just simply means, amen, as we would like to think, like we would like to take the thought process and the cognizant thoughts of the mind and say, amen, that we are thinking with our mind, and maybe there are some things, but when it comes down to it, really, amen, the mind would put the choices up. Well, it's A or B, but A and B came from the heart. And so he says, as a man thinketh, so in his heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so he tells us the importance of being able to control our hearts and keeping our hearts with all diligence. Proverbs 4 and 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You must understand that the responsibility of your heart is yours, and it is yours alone. Amen. It is your responsibility to bring the inner man to the place of holiness that God demands, as he would state, be ye holy, for I am holy. It is your responsibility to take control of your actions. We're going to talk a little bit about that sometime tonight, maybe. Amen. But it is your responsibility. It's my responsibility to keep my heart. It's not my wife's responsibility. It's not my children's responsibility. It's not my pastor's responsibility. Amen. It is my responsibility to keep my heart. It is your responsibility to keep your heart. Amen. If you are to keep your heart, then that means that you must be able to lose your heart. Amen. Somebody is going to be able to steal your heart. What comes from the hearts? Well, we talked about thoughts, but that is the seat of emotions, and your emotion coming from your heart. And there is somebody or something that is able to steal your heart. And it may be a somebody. Amen. But understand that if it is stealing your heart, we know that you're not supposed to steal. And if somebody is trying to steal my emotions, then there is a bad spirit that is involved. Obviously, the enemy. Amen. We have an enemy who, like a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour. He's watching you to see if you're keeping your heart. He's listening to your conversations to see if you're keeping your heart. And when he sees that you're letting down on the guarding of your heart, then he's going to step in and try to steal your emotions. Amen. With some type of spouse or partner. Amen. Or a friend, or maybe a job, an opportunity or something. Amen. But it is his goal to steal the heart that you are to keep. He said, keep it with all diligence. One transliteration states that you are to keep your heart with all vigilance, to guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Amen. Pray God. You're not going to get someplace and think to yourself, how did I get here? You're going to know exactly how you got there. You may not have gotten there overnight, but from choice A to choice B to choice D to decision E and decision F, you finally made it to the place of G. And you may not even like where you are, but you got there incrementally. And that is why that you are to keep that heart with all vigilance. Amen. Because it is going to determine the course of your life. And so the objective is clear, that if you are going to keep your heart, if you're going to retain it, then you're going to have to give all diligence to it. You cannot be passive about it. You're going to have a very, very hard time being a part-time Christian. You're going to have a hard time living for God. Amen. If you're checking out on Monday, Tuesday, checking back in sometime on Wednesday, checking out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and trying to check back in on Sunday, you're going to have a hard time. You've got to be diligent about keeping that heart. For as a man thinketh, so is he. We got to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I pray, God, your whole or your entire spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so last week we ended by dividing this up into thirds. He said that it was your whole spirit, your soul, and your body. And so that equates to thirds. And so we came to the conclusion that it is necessary to point out that two-thirds of a man's makeup deals with his inner man. The spirit and the soul represent the inner man, and the body represents the outer man. And so we see the entirety, the whole. And first it is the spirit, and then the soul, and then the body is last, entirely and wholly God's. And so the first two emphases is put upon the inner man. And I think that if we would choose to start there, if we would choose to emphasize diligence there on the inner man, then the chances are that the outer man is going to come into alignment with the Spirit of God. Because when your spirit is right, God can talk to you and deal with you. There ain't anything worse than trying to talk to a rebellious child. I have often said there are two spirits that you cannot talk to, and one of them is the spirit of rebellion. You can't talk to it. Because as soon as you start trying to talk to that spirit of rebellion, what do? They cross their arms, they look the other way. They look at you like, are you done yet? And so we got to make sure that our spirit is right. Our spirit can't be hard. Our spirit shouldn't be rebellious. Our spirit shouldn't be inflamed with bitterness. Our spirit has got to be right. Amen. David said it like this. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Before that, he said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Amen. So are we going back to this joy? Joy, joy, joy. Man, we just all need to shout. No, we need to make sure we got righteousness and peace. We need to make sure that we got a clean heart and a right spirit. And when we emphasize upon those things, then the joy will come naturally. Praise God. And so when we have a right spirit and when we get our soul right, which can be debatable, but probably is along the lines of the heart. The soul and the heart can be used synonymously several different times. But when we get the inner man right with God, then the outer man is going to take care of itself. And so we talked about that Jesus gave these definitions. And so where we stopped last week is right before the end of this verse where he says that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. And so that little phrase there, to be preserved blameless, we know that through the methods and through the recipes that we have, that grandma has passed down, we have these things that we call preserves. And some of them are jams and jellies. But then we also preserve tomatoes. And we also preserve other vegetables and such, and we can them, and we put them in jars, and we have them sealed. But there is a process that has to happen. It has to go through the fire. It has to go into high intense heat, and it has to be put away at that moment to be preserved. And he said that our spirit and our soul and our body, that it would be preserved blameless. Let me just say something tonight. That does not just simply happen. Amen. But if that is going to happen, you've got to make it happen. We're back to pursuing holiness and perfecting holiness so that we can become holy. And when we get into his presence, and he says that all that can abide the fire must go through the fire, and that our God is a consuming fire. Why? Because he, amen, all of those impurities has got to come out. All of that bacteria that is in there before it can be preserved correctly, so that it does not spoil, so that it does not go bad. It has got to be brought up to the temperature, and it's got to boil for a period of time. Amen. We need that in our lives. And so many of us come to that place, and we think to ourselves, I don't want to go through the fire. I don't want to go through all of this. Amen. And it's just little things here and little things there. And what is it doing? It's just trying your spirit. Amen. I'm thankful that God tries the spirit. In the book of Proverbs, he talks about that it was the Lord that tries the reins of the heart. Amen. It is the Lord that tempers us. It is the Lord that strengthens us and helps us. And he's able to preserve us to be blameless. Amen. To be holy and blameless. And so God puts us through the things so that every time that somebody comes around you, amen, and says a little wrong thing, it doesn't knock you off the edge. Why? Your spirit has been preserved. When somebody comes around and has a word of offense and may offend you, amen, you don't go running out of the church and go drinking beer. Why? Your spirit has been preserved. Amen. When somebody comes around you and wants to tempt you with drugs, you don't go running back, amen, to that first temptation. Why? Your spirit has been preserved. Amen. When emotions come your way, you don't just give them away. Why? Your soul has been preserved. And when the carnal natures of the flesh come around and the new fashions come, you don't just give in to those. Why? Your body has been preserved. I'm telling you, God's got a way of doing it. Amen. How do I know? God says, I see a little bit further down the road than you do. I see what you're going to need tomorrow. I see what you're going to need next week. I see what you're going to need next month. And you're going to have a little bit of heat right now so that your whole body and soul and spirit can be preserved blameless. Praise God. Amen. And so, 30-minute introduction. Let's get into this week's lesson. Week 82. Philippians chapter number 4. I am more concerned with the inner man than I am the outer man. That does not take any emphasis whatsoever at all off of the outer man, because we've already established the principle of the whole man. But I'm simply saying, if we can get the spirit and the soul right, the body will come into alignment. Praise God. Philippians chapter number 4. For some reason or another, I thought Micah was out of town too, so I didn't even make scriptures. Philippians chapter 4, number 5, verse number 5. Let your moderation be made known, or be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse number 7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I don't know why, but I've just got a peace about this. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, what did he say? Shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Passeth all understanding. It does not make sense. It is not even logical. Comprehensive abilities, degrees of education cannot work it out and understand it. There is a peace of God that is able to keep. And so one more time, if there is something to keep, then there is something to lose. Because otherwise there is no need to guard. No need to keep. No need to be diligent. And so he says that the peace of God shall keep your hearts and your minds. Somebody's frustrated about right now. You're not frustrated with me, but you're frustrated with life. You're frustrated with the hand that you have been given. You're frustrated with all the things that you're going through in life. You're frustrated with the ins and the outs, the ups and the downs, and the day-to-day cares and the weeks, amen, that have turned into months, and the frustrations that are there. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because, amen, so many times we keep our hand in the pots, amen, and we keep, amen, trying to work it out. But there is a time at some point in time in life we've got to understand that we're just going to have to give it to God. And some people could ask us and would ask us, how can you be at such peace when you're going through the things that you're going through right now? Amen. I don't understand it. I would have to say that I don't even understand it. But there is something about it, amen, that defies logic, that defies comprehensive abilities, that defies, amen, all of the things that could possibly try to reason it all out. Amen. Deductions can't be made for it. It is called the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Amen. You got grandkids that are in the hospital and they're not doing well, and you don't even act like things bother you. I want you to know it does bother me, but there's something that I have that the world doesn't have, and it's called the peace of God that passeth understanding. Amen. The world would look at you and say, with the things that you're going through and the moments of life that you are in, how can you be so happy about it? It's not about where I've been, amen, but it's the peace of God that passes understanding that's with me unto this day. What is so important about that peace? It is able to keep my heart and to keep my mind. The Bible said that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But when I come to this altar and I get back down at an altar and I say, God, I'm trying to keep my heart with all diligence. I'm not being passive on this Monday morning. I need you today just as much as I needed you yesterday. Amen. And I'm fighting things and I'm going through some things, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the peace of God comes in and it defies logic. It defies reason. It defies, amen, all of these things, understandings. Amen. And the peace of God is there about us. Praise God. We're here for one another. We're here for one another. The other day, Brother Troy texted me and he said, Pastor, would you just please pray for me? He kind of just said, you know, this and this is going on. I said, absolutely. And so, you know what I was doing? I was standing on a ladder. That's what I was doing. I was standing on a ladder and I put my phone on top of that ladder and I just bowed my head and I started praying. I said, God, somewhere in the middle of all of that, Brother Troy says that the peace of God that passes understanding, amen, came down upon him. He had already been yelled at, screamed at, cussed at, and all that other stuff. Amen. And it would have been really easy to kick in the towel and to throw some things and such like that. But all of a sudden, a peace of God that passes understanding, that is able to keep your mind and keep your heart, all of a sudden it comes into the, how can you be so calm when you've been cussed out? How can you be so calm when you're being screamed at? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, the carnal mind can't. The carnal man can't. But when the peace of God steps in and he's able to keep my heart and he's able to keep my mind, for as a man thinketh, so is he. I don't have time to think about cuss words and slain words. I don't have time to think about curses. I don't have time to think about bitterness and resentments. Amen. I've got a heaven to make. I got to be holy. When I wake up in the morning, I say, amen, God, I got to be holy. At noon, I say, I got to be holy. In the afternoon, I got to be holy. In the evening time, I got to be holy. And when I get ready to go to bed, I got to be holy. Why? Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Praise God. Devil, I don't have time to be a part of that. I don't have time to give in to that. Amen. Anybody can let down their standards and go to yelling and screaming and cussing right back. And I'm not saying that everybody is perfect. I'm just saying our dependency upon God is essential. And the closer that we are to Him on a daily basis, the easier it's going to be to find Him. I want to walk side by side Him. I want to feel His breath upon my head. I want to hear the whispering of the Lord. I want to be guided by His eye. I want to stay close to God. I want to be holy because He is holy. And so He said that the peace of God that passes understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And then He says it like this: finally, and verse number 8, and he's given his first in closing. And he says, finally, and you know what that meant? Not much. He said, finally, brother. He said, in other words, I've told you all of that to tell you this. Finally. Finally, brethren. Now here he puts on the responsibility back on you. And we can say that the peace of God that passes understanding is able to keep our hearts and our minds. But look, there are some things that we've got to do. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like the inner man. Paul is addressing the inner man here. He said, look, I don't care if you're wearing a suit and a tie. I don't care if you're wearing a dress that hugs the floor, that sweeps the floor as you go. He said, if your mind isn't in the right place, you're going to have some issues. He said, you have got to keep your mind. In the book of Job, he said that we were to gird up the loins of our mind. Amen. In other words, you're going to have to take control of your mind. And so the discipline of your thought life is what brings about the peace of God, which is going to keep your heart. Did you hear me? I said it is the discipline of your thought life that is going to bring the peace of God to keep your heart. Because you can't be sitting there thinking about everything dishonest. You cannot be sitting there thinking about everything impure. You cannot be sitting there thinking about everything that's not right and that's not of a good report, and then turn and look at God and say, God, why didn't you keep my mind? Why didn't you? No, 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 no. You've got to keep, amen, your mind. You've got to do it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 4. Amen. For he said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. And then he said it like this in verse number 5. He said, casting down imaginations. You cannot just sit there and let your mind run rampant with all of these vain imaginations and all of these perverted imaginations and all of these bad imaginations. You've got to cast them down. Amen. You've got to cast down imaginations. You know what that word cast down means? That means to throw down with a vengeance. It means to throw it down so hard that you destroy it, that it shatters into pieces. But he didn't stop there with just your imaginations, but he said bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having therefore a readiness to revenge all of your disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You cannot just sit there and think on things that you don't need to be thinking about. You got to cast down imaginations, and you got to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Praise God. Bring into captivity. That word captivity makes me think of some kind of trap. Amen. We as kids used to set all kinds of traps. I remember going to my friend's house, and we would set traps for raccoons. And we would put little shiny things down at the bottom and want them to get their hand down there and to grab it. And we set live traps for the possums. We had a possum crawl up on our porch one time in Katy. And so we wanted to get rid of it. And so we set a live trap there and put some cat food in there. And sure enough, Mr. Possum comes, and he's lured into that live trap. And he gets in there, and he steps on something that he's not supposed to step on, and snap. Amen. That gate comes down, and all of a sudden, he's trapped. That's what you've got to do with your thoughts. Amen. He said, bring into captivity. Every thought, whether you take a lasso and, amen, wrap it all up, whether you take a live trap and set it, whether you take any a bear trap and set it, whatever it is, but the responsibility is yours. You cannot sit there and just think on the things that, hey, I'm telling you, life is life, and there are things that are very, very real. Amen. There are things that are reality. They happen, but you cannot just let yourself dwell upon it, because if you dwell in the land of the negativity, you're going to be negative. If you dwell in the land of pessimism, you're going to be a pessimist. If you dwell in the land of bitterness, you're going to be a bitter individual. You cannot live there. You can, and the devil is luring you into it. The devil is saying, hey, you've been done wrong. The devil is saying, hey, wouldn't this be good? Wouldn't this be nice? You got to cast down imaginations, and you got to bring into captivity every thought to the... I'm still preaching about holiness. I'm still preaching about the inner man. I'm teaching you how to keep the inner man. If you'll keep the inner man, the outer man will get right. If you'll take care of the inner man and get your spirit right and get your soul right, everything else will line up. Let's love him tonight. Praise God. Praise God. The discipline of your thoughts is what brings about the peace of God in your heart. How do you keep your heart? You're going to have to guard your thoughts. You're going to have to guard your thoughts. You know why? Because if you let the devil take care of your thoughts, Whoa. Everybody's going to be against you. In your mind, at least. You know, the Bible said it like this. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled, he said it like this. Nothing is pure. Even their heart and their conscience is defiled. You say, explain. To the pure, all things are pure. That one's pretty easy. But to the defiled. In other words, I could come give you $100 and you would be thinking, what does he want? Is he trying to buy me? Doesn't matter what I would do. I could come tell you how much that I appreciate you and you'd be thinking to yourself, I bet he wants something. That's what that means. To the defiled, nothing is pure. Even their mind and their conscience is defiled. I don't want to be that away. Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter number 5, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure. And I want to be pure. I want to be pure hearted. I want to be pure minded. I don't want to look at what people are doing and think to them, trying to think to myself, I wonder what their motive is. I wonder what hidden agenda they have. I wonder why they're doing that. They just probably want me to think something more of them than what they are. They must have an agenda there. No. I want to be pure. I want to be pure in heart. To the pure, all things are pure. I want to be 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 pure. Hallelujah. Why? It's because there's an enemy that's seeking whom he may devour. There's an enemy that's got a magnifying glass, got a scope, got a telescope on me. Amen. He's accentuating and magnifying my life. He's looking into it, trying to find something that he can exploit, something that he can tear apart, trying to find a vacancy in my mind. Amen. And so that they begin to gender, amen, thoughts and things that are going through my mind. And all of a sudden, nobody likes me and everybody hates me. And so I'm just going to go eat some worms and I'm just going to quit and I'm just going to walk away, and the devil is standing back saying, got him. Amen. But I'm teaching you tonight how that you can be. Amen. And it's not because of what you put on the outside. It's not because of how you take care of the outside man. It is important. Amen. It is important. And we'll get to that several weeks down the line. But if I can get your heart right, if I can get your spirit right, you listen to me tonight. We won't ever have to address the outside issues very much whatsoever at all. Why? Because there's going to be an inner man, amen, that's about this. And you're going to understand the principle of holiness is relationship with God. Amen. I do the things that I do, not because somebody tells me to do it, but because I'm in love with God and God's in love with me. I've got a relationship with the Master. Your thoughts are the gateway to the inner man. The gateway to the heart. Your heart is going to be affected because of your thoughts. And if you can discipline your thoughts, you can protect your heart. But you have to keep your thoughts. You have to keep your thoughts. I don't know what you're thinking. Sometimes you may think that I do, but that's just the Word of God. The Bible said that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes down to the end of that verse there in Hebrews 4 and 12. Discerning the thoughts and the intent of the heart. See, that preacher just sounds like he's always preaching straight at me. Oh, there's a lot of times that I don't know that. There are some times that I do know that. A lot of times I don't know that, but God does, and that's God's love reflecting through His Word. God loves you enough that He'll talk to you. Amen. It's between you and God. And so how do you fix that? You fix it at an altar. That's how you fix it. But it's between you and God. And then if that doesn't work, then a lot of times God does expose it to the preacher. And the preacher can try to help you. The preacher can try to help you to get it right or to keep it right. Praise God. But you are the one that has to control your thoughts. So, you know, I remember back in Sunday school, I may have been 15, probably 15 years of age. But Philippians 4:8 was one of my memory verses back then. And I memorized it, Philippians 4:8. And I thought, my Lord, this is the longest memory verse ever. Because I was one of those kids, you know, that would wait until you got to Sunday morning, got in Sunday school class and found that memory verse and sat there and tried to remember it before Sunday school started so you could tell the teacher. Philippians 4:8. For whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things. And he goes on. So, you know, these things, you've got to commit them to your heart. Amen. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Thy word have I hid in my heart, not in my mind, and not on the bookshelf, not on the fireplace mantle, not on the counter under the junk, not in the floorboard, not on the dashboard. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And so, if it's not true, I don't need to think upon it. Now, let me just stop and elaborate right there, because I don't like assumptions. And you don't need to live in the world of assumptions. That's the devil's territory. The devil wants to draw you into it. And hey, I'm telling you, we all fight that. We all, including me, we all fight that. And there will be things that I'll be talking about. And I say, you know what? But that's an assumption. And I cannot live in the land of assumption. So I got to step back and get into reality. And until this plays out, it's an assumption. So, whatsoever things are true. If it's not true, does that mean it's not going to enter into your mind? No, it will. But he said, don't think on these things. Ooh. I just hit something. There's somebody here tonight that's what's bothering you the most. It's because people have formed an opinion about you that is not true. And you're living in a life staying to yourself. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. That's not true. And that has become your entire life. Thinking on that. You know, I know the opinion that they have of me, but it's not true. Stop thinking about it. You remember a little while ago I told you I can't control what you think. You can't control what I think. You can't control what they think. But you can control what you think. And so the scripture tells us how we're supposed to think. If it's not true, don't think on it. You cannot tell me. You know what? I'm not a negative person. And then go be negative, 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 negative. The Bible said that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know what that means? That means from the overflow of the heart. My heart is so full of negativism that it's just flowing out of me. And so this is how you change it. If it's not true, just stop thinking about it. If it's not honest, don't think about it. If it's not just, if it's not pure, don't think about it. If it's not lovely, ooh. You know what we just did with that one? We just freed up a lot of time to think about other things. Because if it's not lovely, we don't need to think about it. That means I'm going to have a lot of time to think about grandbabies. He said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He's, if it's not a good report, don't think on it. You live in a world of such depression just simply because of what the doctor told you. You say, well, what the doctor told me is true, and I'm supposed to think about whatsoever things are true. You and I need to sit down and do a Bible study, because there's a reason for that. And if you'll take these eight things, I believe it is, they divide it up into four sections. And so you can't think about four without thinking about the other four. They are like balances, and you have to have the one in order to have the other to offset. Because you can be thinking about everything that's true. My mortgage is due. My insurance is due. My car note is due. My car needs work. Doctor didn't have it. And all of those things are true. But you know what's on the other side of that balance? Those things aren't lovely. So even though they are true, to bring them back into balance, I bring lovely into it. And so even though it's true, I don't ponder and give my thinking to that, because then I'm a depressed individual. Because you're thinking, my mortgage is due, my insurance is due, the doctor said this, and on the other side, the bank account says this. I'm depressed. And that's easy to do. And so you've got to take things into context. And it may be true, but it's not lovely. And so I'm not going to give long thought to that, because that's not what I want to become. And so I use the balance of lovely to make what I need to be in my life. Praise God. Let's stand here tonight. I have actually made it to page 1.5. So we got a long ways to go, but I'm enjoying it. You know why I'm enjoying it? I'm going to tell you why I'm enjoying it. Because I'm putting myself in front of the mirror of the Word of God. And I'm seeing things in my life that I don't like. Yes. And I'm taking, amen, that spade, and I'm weeding it out of my life. I'm taking this out and taking that out, and now I've got room to put this in and to put that into my life. Right. I'm taking care of that inner man. You know why? Because the inner man can get so messed up so quickly. To be a joyful, positive individual can take a long time, but to be a negative individual don't take any time at all. Amen. Why? Because that's that enemy buffeting us constantly. And this is why I have to hunt holiness. I have to pursue holiness. You know why? Because the devil's not going to make it easy. Because the devil is going to be demanding my attention. Look at me, bud. Right here, right here, right here. Come on, right here. Look, 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 look. That's the way that the devil's going to be. The devil's going to be sitting here flapping his arms in front of you, wanting your attention. And you've got to somehow or another hunt and pursue and manage to get through issues of life. Pursuing holiness, because without it, I can't see God. And here I was just minding my own business and walking down life's road, and here comes the enemy and boom, kicks my feet right out from under me, and I trip and I fall. And now I have to get up, and now I'm searching for tracks. Holiness. Oh, I'm finding the love of God here, and finding the truth of God here, and finding the mercy of God here, and the faithfulness of God here. And I'm pursuing, I'm pursuing, I'm pursuing. And then I'm picking up these things and I'm adding them to my life. And as I'm adding them to my life, what am I doing? I'm perfecting holiness in the sight of God. Why? Because I want to be holy. I want to become holy. Holy. Preserved blamelessly. My whole entire spirit. My entire spirit. Even those things that I don't like to talk about, even those things that I don't like to deal with, those issues, those people. And here comes God. We need to talk about some things. I don't want to talk about those things. Oh, we need to talk about those things, because those things are defiling your spirit. And I'm here to preserve blamelessly, preserve your spirit, your soul, and body. And so God calls us back to the altar. The word of God comes forth as that sharp two-edged sword. And all of a sudden that sharp two-edged sword gets in there and starts talking about, is that lovely? Oh, that's not very lovely. And the sword starts cutting some things out of our lives. Is that pure? I don't want to talk about it. Why? Why? I just don't want to talk about it. Why? Because it's not pure. And here comes that preacher. I know, I am your little angel. And I am always up in the air harping about something, huh? Talking about those things that are not lovely, and things that are not pure, and things that are not just, and things that are not true. And the word of God is cutting them off of our lives. And we look up with joy and we say, oh, I want to be holy. And God said, all right, it's time to prune some things out of your life. Wait. Maybe I need to think about this a second time. Is that pure? Well, no. So do you want to be holy? If you're going to make it to heaven, you're going to have to be holy. Yes, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. I want to be holy.
Hallelujah.
And so he says, all right, let's talk about your spirit first. My spirit. Let's talk about your spirit first. Let's talk about your soul.
Oh, God, I love you.
And let's talk about that inner man first. And let's get the inner man right. And then we can go from there. I think I'd rather stand around and gossip. That's not very holy.
Oh, Jesus.
I think I'd rather just live in the land of a son. That's not very holy. I think that I would just... I don't believe there's a person in this building tonight that doesn't, down deep in your heart, say, I want to be holy. I want to be holy. Because without it, no man shall see the Lord. And so you know what I'm doing? God, whatever that Mark Cowan needs to deal with, I want you to bring it to my attention. Because if it ain't pure and it ain't just, and if it's not good report, if it's not virtuous, if it's not lovely, if it's not just, then I need to get it out.
Yes,
get it out.
Hallelujah.
Get it out. Get it out. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I'm opening up these altars here tonight. It's time to come evaluate your life. Just use these scriptures. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Some of you need to take that verse, and this is the first time I'm going to give you the opportunity to twist it. But you need to twist it completely to the opposite way. And you need to say, if it's not true, if it's not honest, if it's not just, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it's not a good report, if there's no virtue and there's no praise in it, I will not think on these things. I don't have time. I don't have time to let bitterness get into my heart. Not today, devil. Not thinking about it. Not thinking about it. I don't have time to let untruths settle down deep into my heart. Not today, devil. Not today. I don't have time for it. I can't be thinking on those things. Oh, no. I don't care. Everybody else on the job is being impure. Everybody in the school is being impure. I don't have time. I can't be thinking about that. I'm pursuing holiness.
Oh, hallelujah.
I'm pursuing holiness. I got to perfect it. I got a job to do. I got work to do. I got work to do.
Oh,
pursuing. Perfecting.
Jesus.
So that I can be. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us tonight. Help us tonight, God.